didn't have to do it, but you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I thank you. Hey, Johnny Zombro here with the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, PK. Good morning, PK.
Good morning, Jay-Z. How are you?
Well, I'm starting it off with Billy, Dusty, and Frank, the boys of ZZ Top, probably one of the greatest Thanksgiving songs ever. yeah, and so this is episode number 157 of the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. John Zombro and PK, Jay-Z and PK here at you, with you. And today we're going to talk about thankful thoughts, thoughts of Thanksgiving, if you will.
Absolutely. Excited to.
Yeah, well, you know, this week, obviously everyone knows this is the week of Thanksgiving. Makes me think of that Will Ferrell skit, "It's Thanksgiving time." I won't even get into that one, but funny. But, you know, gratitude is what it's all about, and that's always and forever. So this this pod includes some thoughts and expressions of things for which I, and probably we, are grateful for, thankful for. Right off the bat, it's obviously family and health and friends, and that goes without saying. So in this episode, we would like to express some gratitude towards things that, that actually relate to this show and this whole podcast experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John Boy. We have a lot to be thankful for, and this is the time of year to take a moment, take a break, and reflect on that.
Indeed, that is so true. And I just like to remind myself, hey, you know, that shouldn't be something that just happens this week. It should be something that happens all the time. And I think I do appreciate all the things in my life, but I need to make sure that I express that, especially to the people who need to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like to start out with a little tribe talk, get tribalicious.
Let's do it.
All right. So the training tribe, you know, that is our Lifetime Athlete online group training coaching platform. And it's a year-round conditioning system that also includes health education and a fair sprinkling of fun, if you don't mind my saying, that anyone can jump into at any time. And for less than a buck a day, you can have some awesome programming and be a part of this amazing community. So this week, we're deloading last week of the month with some flexible scheduling. Again, I used that last week, but, you know, kind of giving the peeps the ability to sprinkle and splash and put their workouts where it's going to work for them during this, you know, probably uniquely scheduled week. We're coming off of our endurance blocks, our final week, and we're prepping for our next block of training, which is a two-month phase that has an agility focus. So we're still going to touch on strength and speed and power and endurance, but we're really going to dive deep into the world of mobility, fluidity, stability, and reactivity. They even have a great workout that maybe any listener of the pod today might like a piece of. And you could call it a turkey burner if you need to do that, to put it on the front or the back end of a feast. But this one's also just a great celebration of the season. And it is called the Power Hikeabout with the Hormesis Sammy.
That is a mouthful. Please elaborate.
I wanted to elaborate, and it also just splashed into my mind. I think I've used splash several times this morning. You and I pretty much did one of those the other day, so I'll come back around and tell that story. So simply put, what you do is a pre-workout shower, and you finish with a cold rinse. You know, as much as you can take, you know, hopefully like 2 minutes with the faucet on cold, but give yourself whatever, you know, you can get out of that. And that's going to give you a bit of CNS activation, kind of lightens and brightens you up, if you will. It helps with brown fat production. Brown fat is, or brown adipose tissue, that's the thermogenic kind of fat that burns some cows, helps keep us warm. You know, we are mammals. And also it upregulates the immune system a bit, which we can all use at this time. So you get that with your pre-workout shower that has a cold finish. Then you go out for, check this out, 2 hours of nature walking that has 10 push-ups and 10 squats every 10 friggin' minutes. And it's good. Right. That's some good stuff, good sauce. And then you finish out with a little heat exposure in the sauna, in the hot tub, a hot shower or bath, or driving in your car with a heavy coat on and the heater blasting. You can get it any way you need to get it, and it is fabulous.
Interesting. All right. So let's break this down just a bit, because we're starting with, you know, we've talked about in the show, power shower or version of that, where you got a regular shower, a hot shower that you finish with a cold splash. Usually we've finished with a cold splash, but in this setup, you start off with that. Then you go for your 2 hours of nature walking with your push-up squats and push-ups and squats, but you're finishing with heat exposure. Why the combination of effects here, John?
Yeah, I think the cold has a more like activating effect as a pre-workout. So that's the benefit there. And that workout is, you know, it's easy to cruise into it because you're primarily walking and then you're doing body weight movements. So that's a nice fit. And then by finishing with the heat, you know, you get some of the benefits of heat exposure, which it can be relaxation and getting into a parasympathetic state for recovery purposes more rapidly. You also can improve the body's ability to recover and repair tissue. And there even is an augmentation effect of your aerobic training through heat exposure. And so, you know, all those things that I've been, you know, rambling about there in the SAMI, they are, you know, evidence-based, but it's just kind of a fun way. If you have, you know, this is a 3-hour experience. And so, you know, we have to make sure we have that time available, but you know, maybe it's a great Black Friday burn instead of shopping.
Absolutely. Okay. One last question on this. Mm-hmm. Does it need to be stacked up back to back? Like, how soon after your shower do you want to go out for this nature walk?
I would say like immediatamente. So, you know, the whole thing goes together and, you know, you dry off. You don't want to walk out soaking wet, but dry off, put your training suit on. Maybe that's a Lifetime Athlete t-shirt that says Unleash the Beast or something like that. Just throwing a pitch out there. And then you do it, and then you immediately finish with the heat. So that's how you get that great combo effect. And in fact, I met up with my bro coach PK last week, and you know, we met at a kind of a common ground, local park, had some trails. We were going to do like a broach walk. And I left my house, it was 50 degrees. And so I had shorts on, and I got there to meet you. And then rapidly the temperature dropped to the mid 30s and the wind began to pelt us with snow. And I got chilled, you know, I got some hormesis going on that walk. And then when we, you know, parted appropriately in COVID circumstances, I jumped into my truck and blasted the heater. And I thought, oh, that was a great feeling when it was all done.
That is, well, it's actually true. Yeah, we're trying to do a nice, socially distant, responsible connection to chat. And literally, is that where you came up with the inspiration for this power hike about with the hormesis SAMI, or was that just a refresher?
It's a lot of irony there, because that was already in the programming, you know, a number of weeks, possibly months ahead. But it just, I happened to get an extra dose of it, and I was like, whoa, this actually kicks some real A.
I like it. Well, I'm going to put that on my to-do list for tomorrow or in the next couple. But absolutely, I guess we'll circle back on that, and we'll kind of see how we both found it after we connect next week. So John, let's say someone heard about that and they're like, I really like what you're doing here with T2. How do I join?
Yeah, it couldn't be simpler. It couldn't be simpler. And that's what one of the goals of the whole T2 experience is. Just go to thelifetimeathlete.com and click on the Training Tribe menu item. And then, you know, that'll take you right in. You can learn a little bit more about it, look at a list of information, read an article, link up with a podcast, etc. But ultimately, if you'd like to join, you just click join, and, you know, it's a very simple procedure. And then you get subscribed, and then you receive, you know, not only the weekly e-blast, which is the update for the group, but the weekly programming content, which includes all the WOWs, workouts of the week, the rationale behind them in text, table, and video format, and the ability to share in our community, our tribe, on the forum, and engage in our masterclass meeting. So it's really a good deal, and it's easy to get into, and really does help to develop athleticism, you know, complete fitness, and to take all the thinking and worrying out of the process of program design, because I do it for you.
Look at that. That's something to be thankful for. Absolutely. Speaking of thankful, that's kind of what we're going to do today, right? We're going to talk about thankful thoughts.
Yes, it sounds almost like another Saturday Night Live skit, but I'm going to jump right in and say, you know what I'm thankful for, PK, is you, my brooch. And here's why. And feel free to, you know, interject if you need to. But potting has never been more powerful or pleasant. It's peak performance pontification and prognostication when you're around.
Oh, buddy, I tell you, that's beautiful alliteration. Thank you. Humble.
I was putting the P in PK. So, you know, here's some things I know about you. You are kind and patient, and you allow me to ramble on like Led Zeppelin, or, you know, you even let me sing sometimes. Thank you.
I don't know if I can stop you.
Okay, it's just, this is just a mutual admiration society. It's a flatter fest. And so here's some other things. You are insightful. You really are. You know, you're witty and brilliant, and you ask questions or make comments that take our discussions to a higher level than I could get there on my own. So I really appreciate you for that. And also, here's a real cool thing. You know, we talk about Animal Fit all the time. That's our body typing training system that we have as an ebook, you know, at thelifetimeathlete.com. But you are a powerful Wolverine, and I'm pretty sure you can push a heavy sled faster than anybody else. And this summer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stage an uphill loaded wheelbarrow race. And I predict that you will take all comers.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That is well, at least I have the winter to train for this. But John, thank you for those kind words. I appreciate it. And I think that, you know, it is a pleasure to hop on this pod on a weekly basis. And I learn things, and we chop stuff up, and I think that, thank you. I am thankful to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to be, I think, students and sharing and sometimes being authorities as well. And I, you know, that leads right into this next, thing that I'm so grateful for, and I'm sure that you are as well. And that is, hey, you out there, you wonderful audience member. Thank you. Thank you. We really, really do appreciate you listening and giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we would absolutely have these chats and chop this stuff up, just the two of us. But having an audience and having people tap in, really, John, to get your insight, knowledge, and perspective, I think that without the audience, without the anticipation and sort of the desire for this type of information and content, you know, we wouldn't be up in the mid 100s of episodes.
Yeah, time has flown. I mean, I just thought about that as you were speaking. You know, we're well over 2 years into this journey, and almost two and a half. And you know, to the listener, you know, what I want to say is it's really humbling and inspiring to have folks who value and usually, from the feedback we get, put into action our suggestions. And I think you really do represent folks who are empowered and motivated, and you actually turn out to be yourselves leaders in health and fitness and performance.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So I'm in tribute to the listener, I'm just saying, hey, you know what you do? You lead the charge. And I can think of so many examples over time, you know, how you encourage and support others. I've had lots of listeners reach out and say, hey, I shared this episode with someone else, or I turned them on to the Training Tribe, for example. And that's cool, because obviously, you know, the messages are getting to you, and you're vetting me and us a bit, and that's important to do. And then you're actually letting others in on, you know, what really isn't a secret, but hopefully is some good information.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that is, I think that Without the audience and without sort of like that interaction, that conversation that you've developed with the folks that are communicating back and forth, I think that it wouldn't be as dynamic. Some of our best conversations or episodes or pods have come from feedback or questions from the audience. And, you know, in many ways, I just try and like be a representation of that audience live as we're conversing. I don't always get there. So it is nice to have that conversation. And so keep them coming, keep interacting with John. And if there's anything that, you know, you want or any questions that you have, it just allows us to take it in a direction that's super real.
So true. So true. So, you know, this is an interesting show because when we were kind of setting up this, we thought, well, you know, let's make sure that we observe those immediate things for which, you know, we need to be thankful for in this world. But also in this podcast world, I'm going to say that I'm actually thankful for just overall the existence of podcasts, if you believe that.
I would believe it. Please go on.
So podcasting is an amazing platform from which to deliver information and education and entertainment. And hopefully we do some of those things at different levels. But it's so great to have open access and portability. You know, you can pick it up most anywhere, take it with you. You can, you know, you don't necessarily have to be standing or sitting looking at a page. Not that that's a bad thing to do from time to time. And podcasting is really a democratic system. You know, it just uses a simple RSS feed to allow words to get out, you know, with minimal censorship. And that's a wonderful thing in these current times.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's also democratic in terms of how you can get exposure to it as well, and sort of how the content rises up. I think that it is really interesting. I know you want to talk about this a little bit more, but it's become, I think, especially in 2020, a real source of information and conversation that we get a window into from people that otherwise we wouldn't have a chance to have these sort of, you know, be an audience of this extemporaneous idea exchange.
It's so amazing to see the growth and see that this consumption of information getting embraced. And it's so dynamic now, you know, like in the business world. XM Sirius just bought Stitcher, you know, one of the major, or let's say mid-major podcast platforms. And Spotify has actually come up with some new, you know, things they're doing, some new inroads where they're actually starting to compete and chip away at the massive giant known as Apple. And all those things are just good. They're evolutions in business. But I think the ultimate thing is it helps us consumers to, you know, get more access, get more choice, get better fit for how, you know, we seek and receive things. So wonderful.
Absolutely. I think that you're right on the mark there.
Yeah. And this whole, like, say, existence of podcasting, you know, you've already alluded to it, but we do this, you and I, you know, out of love more than anything else. It's so fun, you know, to participate in these chats. And, you know, I also feel a very strong calling to share and give back and help others. You know, I don't want to keep any secret, a secret, you know, or, you know, just information, any special sauce that needs to get out there. And to be able to offer that up to folks is a gift. And, you know, I just feel like I would walk down the street and have conversations with myself anyway, including multiple hand gestures. I know my neighbors are well aware of that, but it's just so magnificent to be able to do it in this way. You know, maybe the last thing I'd say about just how podcasting has worked and this show, the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, you know, we actually moved away from sponsors and affiliate relationships kind of early on. You know, that first year we were kind of experimenting with some of those things. But now I think I feel really good about saying we only endorse what we create and ultimately control completely. And so our coaching and training services, like the one-on-one services that I provide, the Training Tribe or T2, and then the products, you know, like those ebook programs we've talked about before, including Animal Fit, even the t-shirts with the inspirational messages, those are all things that really sing to the mission and the method of TLA and hopefully have that quality that we're really trying to put forth. And so if you like, as you're listening, any of these things, we really want you to get them because they will help you more than just say, hey, please support the podcast. That's there, but that's kind of secondary. And we aren't doing any silly market up, market down, Black Friday urgency sales. You know, quite frankly, the things that we have available are always a great, great bargain.
No Black Friday urgency sales, indeed.
Yeah, what we've got is a free Black Friday burner workout, which we went through earlier. And what was that thing called? It was the power hike about with the Hormesis Sammy. I mean, you just can't get that anyplace
else. No, the power hike about Hormesis Sammy, that's a steal at twice the price, you know, which is free. So get out there and just take a big bite out of that sumbitch.
Yeah, I love horseradish too, man. It's just so zesty, and I feel like that there's a lot of horseradish in that, Sammy.
Indeed. What else is on your list, John, of things you're thankful for?
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting one as I've reflected on, you know, the pod for sure, and then also a lot of the things that I've been doing in business. And I want to say I'm actually thankful for Zoom and other technologies that are currently in vogue today.
Interesting. I want to get your thoughts. I think I kind of have a, especially in 2020, a bit of a love-hate with some of these technologies. And so I'm excited to see, you know, so your positive outlook on it, because maybe I've gotten a little salty when considering all these wonderful technologies.
Yeah. And I see your point. Hopefully that'll come out as we're talking, you know, that I definitely agree that, you know, there are ups and downs with all things, but I've been using Zoom now for about 5 years, and doesn't make me special, but I would definitely say it's revolutionized for me the virtual meeting space. So again, no news to anyone listening, but you know, it's very, very interesting because several years ago, I was kind of, you know, I think I was a little bit ahead of the curve in that respect. I was kind of seeing the value in this, not replacing every other model that existed, but just being something that could be utilized to help folks. And so I was on that path, and I had to tell a lot of people, talk to them, you know, what Zoom was, and try to convince them to use the software. Mm-hmm. I did get some buy-in, you know, from some folks who maybe were early adopters. I'm not sure that term totally applies, but a significant number of people were just not quite on board. And now it's just what we do. It's interesting that, you know, I don't have to go through spending any time or energy on that. It's like, oh, okay, I see how this works. I want to set up an electronic meeting and work with you. Okay, done. You know, we don't have that barrier anymore. And it's also very interesting for me to see now how Google is scrambling to try to gain back some market share. You know, it just kind of, you know, Zoom is definitely, a power driver. And then when we hit the pandemic, there was just this multiplication where, you know, I'm sure, there's a team at Google scrambling every day trying to get a piece of that.
Absolutely. Well, I think it was one of those things where maybe you've done it for business, or you've, in some specialized reason. When the pandemic hit, it became just like part of the cultural vernacular and thing that you just learned how to do, kind of like, logging onto the internet or in a browser or flipping the lights on. Like, it just became, you know, something that you needed to do. So I think it has been interesting. And I think that the cool part about that is that barrier was just kind of knocked down, where it wasn't sort of odd or unusual. It was just kind of the status quo. And so everyone just kind of learned how to do it. And then it's not as big of a deal. It's just, kind of reducing the barriers and the challenges.
Yeah. And to your point, I feel like, you know, we're humans, we're social beasts. And obviously the face-to-face meeting has much value in many circumstances, but this is really the next best choice in a lot of ways. And dare I say, for some transactions and interactions, it's the best choice because, you know, it's quick, it's convenient, it's safe, if you like that term, and it's cost effective.
Absolutely. Anything else in terms of the tech?
Well, I want to say I'm really thankful for the whole electronic scheduling and billing side of things, which, you know, again, over, let's say, the last decade, maybe plus, it just really got to the point where it really works so well. And so I've been using electronic scheduling and billing software for quite a long time. And you know, these latest iterations are so amazing. They save everybody time, energy, and money, because you can very seamlessly make a few, you know, what do you want to say, clicks or swipes or finger taps, depending on the device that you're using. And you don't have to go through a phone call. You're not looking at, let's say, you know, multiple calendars and different things. You can actually get things done expediently. Sure. And I like that. And I also like the fact that more and more people are just more comfortable with that now. You know, I don't have the times where somebody wants to make a phone call and talk about possibly eventually setting up an appointment. It's like, no, you know, all the information that they might need for, let's say, vetting purposes or FAQs, you know, that's available, which should be for most professionals. And also then they can, you know, quickly go through bam, 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 you know, they're setting up and their transactions, so that, okay, now they've got more time to do other things. And I just really like that, how this has evolved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think all this and the tech has allowed you to do in terms of reaching more people?
Well, it comes down to this. It's problem solving. So we're always trying to say, well, what are these things we do, you know, services, T2 or one-on-one coaching, they help to solve problems for people. And so we can have interventions that really do that, and they come at a lower price point than any time you'd have to support, let's say, a hardwired brick and mortar offline business. And those things in performance coaching and reconditioning, if you like that word, still and always will have a place, of course, especially in the professional sport and the institutional, you know, schools, colleges, arenas. But it's becoming less and less. And so for a lot of us, recreational athletes, high-level fitness enthusiasts, the electronic coaching system, it works extremely well, and it's becoming, you know, very well adopted and supported.
Absolutely.
Also, I'm kind of glad, you know, to see many of my colleagues, you know, as trainers, physical therapists, other people in the human performance world adopting as well and moving into this area, at least as an adjunct to their clinics and facilities. And I say that, but I also want to say, I think they have a ways to go. And I say that with a kind heart, not a mean spirit. I even created an ebook to help other physical therapists in particular develop an online practice component.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. It's great. We kind of worked together on that a little bit, just because you were way ahead of the curve. Meaning you practically did it before you were the limitations brought out by the pandemic. And I think there's some good information in there. So that is something that if you want that info, you can get it. You know how to reach out to John.
Yeah. So as a practitioner, you know, you can grab that, and it really works for, you know, more than just physical therapists, of course, but also even as a, let's say, a recipient or consumer of those types of services, you can always say to your provider, hey, I would like to actually get into this. I don't know that you're doing it. I know where you can access a guide that's going to help you to do that kind of easily. So forth, so on. But I would say also as a related technology advance, with all this tech stuff, we can automate and streamline to optimize user experiences. So that's really important for, say, the people who are on the provision side of coaching, training, reconditioning services, among others. Make small investments, but they are needed to be done. We can invest in cameras, microphones, speakers, lighting, monitors, soundproofing, things like that, that allow us to deliver our expertise most effectively and really make the user experience as good as it can be. And that's really why I'm so pro tech in this, because when you do that, it works great. Obviously, if someone has had an experience where, you know, it's downright crappy, I feel for you, sister and brother, but there is a way to do this well.
Absolutely.
And then I'd also say this whole, say, like professional service and technology pairing is an artistic one, and it's a polishing of the craft. You know, for, let's say for folks who are in the coaching and training and therapeutic things, getting really good, and that, you know, you got to get your reps in at assessment and exercise instruction, lifestyle education, even self-applied manual therapy techniques delivered across a screen. It takes a lot of work, and it's an ongoing process of development, but it's just amazing how when it all comes together, you can get some great great results across the net. I've had so many people say they thought we had to be in the same room. There needed to be a lot of touch, needed a lot of time to get a result. And not, again, I've said it before, I'm all for human touch, but most of the training and therapeutic applications that we need to do can be done easily when you're good at this electronic delivery system. And I got to say that.
Absolutely. I think that, well, there's a place for both, where what we've been able to learn is that you can get that high level care insight if you are dealing with an expert. So it's not just this one way that involves face to face. So really it's an addition instead of a replacement. And I think it really applies well beyond just this this state of the world that we're in right now.
Yeah, and I'd say that if you've got blood coming out of you and you're not medically stable, get yourself to a hospital. That's important. You got to do that. But if you've got a chronic ache or pain, you don't think you're moving well, you're trying to, you know, make your training a little bit more effective, these are the kinds of things that I do at TLA, and they're absolutely dynamite across the system.
No question. I think that dovetails into the next thing that you wanted to talk about that's on your list of things to be thankful for. Thankful thoughts. And what is number five?
I would describe it as the evolution of sports science, or maybe even take it further, health science, nutrition science, the evolution of science in all these human performance fields. And it's because so many great questions are being asked and people are really using the scientific method to get answers that are quite intriguing. And also, I think there are a lot of consumers who are becoming better at, using research.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, certainly, and I think that it dovetails with both the technology, podcasting, really everything that we've talked about. So what are some examples of this where the sports science has evolved, and what are some of those conversations happening out there that you're tuned into?
Yeah, I've got a couple of examples here. Actually, I made a list. And, you know, I think that, like when we look at graduate study or research methods, it's important that there's critical consumption, sorting it out. So you don't want to just cherry pick abstracts. You know, you really want to, read studies in detail and look at the methods. And, you know, especially when we're talking about humans, decide, is this observational, which does have some value, but, if we're trying to make definitive conclusions, is it a randomized controlled trial done on a large number of subjects over a significant time period, and has it been replicated? So those are things that, you know, you want to use when you're then adding your applications, science, common sense, wisdom all together. So having said enough of that, I'd say there's one of the food examples in the food world right now, the big focus is in seed oils. So we're hearing, we're seeing a lot of good research that, I'm going to say supports what you and I've been preaching about for quite a while. And that's that industrial seed oils. And again, those are kind of these manufactured oils, corn, canola, cottonseed, sunflower, safflower, soy, peanut. They can almost be viewed as fake foods. You know, they're marketed as all natural and healthy, but when you think about the industrial machinery, the heat, the pressure, and sometimes cost of chemicals that need to be used to produce these oils, you're like, nah, wait a minute, that's not really occurring naturally in nature. We're extracting and processing it. Well, the data that's emerging seems to support that these seed oils, you know, they're either pro-inflammatory, again, that's a term that, you know, we could rabbit hole, or at least they compete with and dampen, which is more likely, our internal inflammation suppression signaling. So that's, I wanted to say that. And they tend to also, if we consume a lot of them in excess, they we make some of our cell membranes and other, you know, biological membranes out of them, but that they have inferior quality. So we're building less durable humans if we're building them out of seed oils. And they can even change, here's really the biggest thing the research is supporting right now, fat cell physiology. They can dysregulate the metabolism, possibly more than sugar alone. Again, because in excess, these things can cause a problem with the fat cell or the adipocyte, which is a leaking out of that fat cell of what are known as inflammatory cytokines and triglycerides. So we use triglycerides for fuel, but they're best utilized by the body when they're transported on the lipoproteins and delivered in that mechanism. And when they're free in the bloodstream, not as desirable.
Yeah, it's so interesting to, you know, taking me to school right here, take some notes. But yeah, that is a conversation, obviously, that you've been tuned into. But it's nice to see the data supporting that and having a more informed conversation that you can back up with science.
Yeah, and so I'm going to say, hey, if you're frying your turkey this year for Thanksgiving, which is a wonderful thing to do, it's going to cost you more, but use a higher quality oil like an avocado oil as opposed to the jug of Wesson. You know, there's a slam that might shorten your lifespan.
Right. Well, what else are these? Are you tuned into in terms of these great questions with the answers coming out intriguing you?
Well, breathing is big currently. It's funny, you know, because we've been doing that for over 3 million years, you know, if you want to start at Lucy or something, but we're learning more about modern anatomy. In other words, the modern human with how the palate is shaped, the mandible, which is the jaw, the airway. Yeah, you know, we've got some issues due to, you know, let's say not eating a whole foods diet, maybe eating some of those seed oils, reduction in breastfeeding, reduction in activity levels, genetic, epigenetic thing. Okay, you get the point that, you know, modern anatomy might be different than primal anatomy. We're also looking at how breathing affects the autonomic nervous system, which is the sympathetic and parasympathetic states, and even like downstream effects and how, you know, if we can improve some of these breathing mechanics, that's a wonderful potential treatment or adjunct for sleep apnea and health overall. So I really like the fact that, you know, breathing is getting attention. And certainly we've talked about before, you know, breathing is an exercise in and of itself. And we can do different types of breathing to alter things like, you know, stability, mobility, psych up or calm down effects. And so I really like that information is getting out there to folks.
Yeah, honestly. And I feel like this, speaking of podcasts, everyone knows Joe Rogan has a huge podcast. And I feel like when James Nestor was on his podcast and you know, his new book came out, I think the title, I can't remember what the title is. Maybe it might just be Breathe. But I feel like the conversation that just happened in popular culture at large exploded almost like I think you can attach it to that, the exposure of that podcast, that conversation, and then going on and people reading the book and then conversations happening. So I think that's kind of a combination of the two things that you're thankful for right there.
Yes. And James Nestor, you know, great author, great book. You're right. It's either Breath or Breathe. I read that not too long ago. And that was a great, Joe Rogan always does a great job in, you know, interviewing these folks. And that was good. I really think that's a great resource. And, you know, obviously, you know, maybe you're doing a little shopping this week or thinking about the holidays. That's a great book also to pick up. So, you know, talked about seed oils, talked about breathing, just looking at some different categories. The next thing I would say is tendons, again, which we've alluded to a little bit. A couple of great researchers out there, Keith Barr being one of them at UC Davis. And, you know, so tendons, they're just one hot topic in athletics and fitness, but we're actually gathering a better understanding of the role and the value of tendons in the human body, how best to train them, to rehabilitate them, and really how to support the long-term health of the tendon as the critical connective tissue that binds the muscle to the bone.
That is, you've dropped some knowledge on me just on some of our bro talks. That is fascinating and just I think that that's not, we probably should dedicate a whole episode to that, just because it seems to make sense just for the layman when you lay it out there. We don't have time to rabbit hole it here, but it is fascinating stuff.
Yes. And I think that would be a great show. I agree with you. I think I have a pretty good understanding of a couple of the research positions that are out there. And then I can also sort of put some practicality in as far as here's what we do with people at different levels and in different sports. So a great idea. You know, we'll try to get that before year end. And then the last thing I want to say is about body composition. And this was really fascinating for me. I actually, I was listening to a talk given by Dr. Lonnie Lowry, and he was talking about this research. It's very new research, and so I'd have to go back and get the reference. But I've been amazed at some of the new stuff that's looking at these elite strongmen. So I'm talking about guys like Brian Shaw and Hafþór Bjørnsen and Eddie the Beast Hall. You know, you gotta love these guys because these are 400 plus pound humans. Who are obviously strong as hell. I mean, you see what they're doing. It's just, it's so amazing. But they're not fat. You know, in other words, they don't tend to have an extremely high percent body fat in their composition. They have extreme muscle mass. I mean, you know this obviously because of the strength. But one of the things that's come out in the research is that their bone mineralization or their bone density is almost twice that of the average human. So they have hard bones, you know, hard, heavy bones. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And all this comes in at a body fat percentage of around less than 20%. And so it makes me kind of want to rethink some things, you know, because I've tried to be very broad and kind with my ranges for body fat as far as health and performance go. But I might, at least for males of the species, I might pull it down a little bit and say, well, there's no real evidence to suggest that we need to be over 20%, because you can be as big and strong as you want without having more than 20% body fat. And there's not as much data available on females yet. And certainly we have the whole reproductive thing. So I think that it's not going to be pushed as low, it's certainly not as low or not on a scale as low as males. But wow, isn't that amazing that you've got these just beasts of humans, you know, showing us what's possible there.
That is fascinating. And what you said about the bone density being almost twice that of the average human, just dense, heavy bones. And that's something I'd like to talk about more as well.
Yeah. And the fact that this is trainable. So, you know, we know about lean body mass is not just muscle. It's also organs, but also mm-hmm. bone. And I forgot what the units of measure are, but, you know, most of us, it's the average people, you know, like 1.0 something. This is the number, but then the strong men are like 1.8. And you know, I mean, that has a huge implication that when we're looking at skeletal health and, you know, management of osteopenia, osteoporosis, as well as just durability and force production capacity, we need to load the skeleton. And so again, let's keep it within scale and keep it safe, but why aren't more people doing heavy carries and those types of things? Again, there's a way to do it safe. In fact, the training tribe later, well, maybe not later, but this week they have another workout in there. A portion of it, the main set, is called Carry Palooza, and they do a series of weighted carries. So they're doing a farmer's walk, which is a bilateral hand carry, like carrying buckets. They've got a suitcase carry. They've got a rack position carry, overhead carry. I mean, think about skeletal loading and grip strength that the tribe members. We're creating possibly superior beings here.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, the thing about that, when you describe, you know, these Carry Palooza, these events like that, it's just so real world based, you know, like if you had to, you know, carry someone out of a gully, because, right, that's a, you know, that's an application of that. You know, if you have to help, you know, push a truck out of the snow, then you've got these, you know, these things that you're coaching these humans up for. They do have applications in the real world. And if you don't train for them, like or prepare for them or have a body that can do these, they could really smoke you. You know what I mean? I think it's just fascinating. So Carrie Palooza, like it.
Yeah, I could say more, but I'll just move on to my next thought because I really appreciate you listeners, and I don't want to be too long-winded, but I really have a great amount of respect and gratitude towards all these people out there who I'm going to call thought leaders, mentors, forward thinkers, and even open-minded individuals who are just driving this whole human performance thing that obviously that's what we're all about here.
Absolutely. You have anybody or anything specific that comes to mind when you think about these folks?
Yeah, I've got another list, and this is both general and specific. You know, first of all, I think we have a lot of researchers, coaches, athletes, healthcare providers, you know, who are using all this science that we've been talking about and tech to maybe make the world better. So they're not just being complacent and doing the same old stuff. You know, they're really kind of, you know, pushing forward, asking questions, testing. I really, really respect and admire that. And so starting with, like, maybe even in reverse from that list, open-minded individuals, I am very grateful for the many clients that I get the opportunity to engage with who want to weigh and consider and implement information, test it maybe, you know, tweak it and turn it into knowledge. In fact, I got a message yesterday that one of our training tribe members had done the Carrie Palooza, performed that yesterday. And she just said, I love that session. It was a blast. And, you know, that makes me feel good. But I also think it, you know, it's really an exemplification of people, you know, testing it and saying, just because John came up with it, that doesn't make it great, but I did it and it really worked for me.
Absolutely.
So then we've got athletes, and those examples are so many. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I just want to say one thing I love, and you and I did speak about this on that Blizzard walk the other day. I love what's going on in strength and conditioning in the NBA. You know, I really do think that they might be the National Basketball Association and what they're doing to condition athletes. I mean, it might be ahead of many other sports. Not to say that that's not happening across sport, but they're just really looking at things like, well, how do we adjust models to fit the bodies we've got, the positions, the movements, and can we rethink some paradigms and what is our role? And I love that because they're really not making these athletes that much better athletes. They're, you know, at the top level, these are freaks in a good way, you know, freaks of nature. But when training is done right, well, they don't get hurt and they stay playable, you know, over a long season and, you know, keep people healthy. That's some cool stuff.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that it's, that's a whole nother, you know, that's a rabbit hole that we can dive down. Maybe that'd be a fun thing to get into, but just keeping these tremendous athletes on the floor and keeping them, you know, sort of like that, preserving all of the different amazing things that they have going on and not making it, not exacerbating that. It absolutely is inspirational.
Yep. And so now as a forward thinker, again, there are many, I'll just highlight one, a guy who I've been following for a while, and I think he's pretty awesome. Adarian Barr, his company Barr Running, he does really looking at the foot, at physics, at the central nervous system in powerful ways, a bit different than maybe a lot of the coaching methodologies have existed in the past. And he's got a seminar that I'm going to eventually find myself at when that becomes available again. But I think he's really a forward thinker among many. And I just love it when folks tend to say, okay, this is what we know, but here's a slightly unique way of looking at it that might have great validity. Also, Bill Hartman, physical therapist, he has done a lot of that with looking at, how movement's generated and how we, label contractions and pressurization in the body. Okay, cool stuff. And again, I could go on and on, but I love the forward thinkers because they really do help drive what we're doing.
Absolutely. What else is on your list?
I've got mentors, and there are many, you know, mentors, but Lee Taft was on the show a while back in the summer. You know, he's the speed guy, and he's a master of coaching speed and change of direction, and he knows how to make the cues spot on and the demonstrations. You know, my age, I think he might be a year or two younger than me, but he moves like a cat, and isn't that what we all want? And so here's a guy who, you know, walks the talk, but talks it really, really well. So, you know, love learning from Lee and so many people like him. And then maybe lastly, you know, I just talked about, you know, who's a thought leader, you know, like maybe I've got a list here of people that are sure. just really shaking it up for me. So Dr. Paul Saladino, you know, he is really making some inroads looking at metabolic health. And, you know, he's, you know, got, you know, books and a podcast and videos out there, you know, it's easy to find. Really intelligent, really great when he interacts with other people, because he does so in a way that's very open-minded and not condemning. I like a guy down here to the south here at BYU, Dr. Ben Bickman. He's done some great research on insulin and you know, metabolic health and longevity. Really, again, cutting edge things that are happening in his lab. And then like Dr. Mike T. Nelson, you know, he's a guy, I think he deserves credit for the metabolic flexibility model. He will say he didn't come up with it. He got it from someone else, but he certainly developed that idea of how human metabolism and fuel source can be optimized. He gets credit. How about Alex Hutchinson, you know, the author of Endure, and also really one of the better or even best reporters on the science of sport, does that for Outside Magazine as well. He's so awesome. James Serby, he was on our show earlier this year. I think James is, he's designing some great, like cutting edge programming models, you know, based on science. He's very science oriented, just, you know, building better humans. And love that. And I love to be inspired by these folks and so many more. So I just say, I salute you all.
Absolutely. Me as well.
Yeah, I think my word density in this show was way up there. I was just spewing, but I appreciate the opportunity to do that. Thanks to UPK. Thanks to listeners. And hey, just in closing for Thanksgiving and beyond, be safe, be healthy, be peak performing. Hey, why don't you be hard to kill?
Goodbye.